And I'm joined in the studio, slurping his coffee there. Good morning, Box Trigwell.
Hang on. That's better, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Now, you've come in to talk to us today about your book, Inner Silent Way. And it's a little bit of a ghosty story, isn't it?
It's the beginning of a series of 10, so the first one isn't particularly spooky, but as it moves on in the series, it becomes horrendously spooky. So
things that go bump in the night, a little bit of... There was one particular passage when I read the book that got me going on edge, just and trying to anticipate what was coming up a little bit later.
Good.
And that's when she comes into her house. It's silent.
Hang on.
More coffee. Calls out for the dogs, and they're not to be found. Where are they? But they turn up locked in the shed.
Yeah.
How? Why? What happened?
You'll have to read it to find out.
Absolutely.
I'm not giving you any secrets this morning because, like I've briefly explained, there is a series of 10 books. So trying to explain what happens in over a million words with different time zones, 27 different characters, is almost impossible. So I think if we just stick with Inner Silent Way, which is the basis of the 10 books, which is basically a very ghostly story.
It is. It is quite scary. You read into it. It's colourful with some of the language you use, but you're using it in a particular way to express the feelings.
This is it. When you write, when you have characters, what I've found is say the Scottish character, she's very rough and ready, she's very down to earth, so she will say a certain expletives, whatever they're called.
Expletives.
Yeah, expletives, there we are, expletives. I was expelled from school, that's why. So you can't have her talking and just talking normally and saying, I'm going to go to the shops, I'm going to go to the pub, I am going to, you know, she'll say...
Beep, 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 beep,
etc, yeah. Leaving out how she speaks is leaving out, I think, part of her character. Because if you met her in the street, that's how she would speak.
It is a... Yeah. Absolutely.
And that's just one character of 27.
I tell you what, I've read through that. There's an awful lot of animals mentioned in the book as well.
Well, it's initially, it's set in, obviously, the Surrey countryside. It is set in a big country house in Surrey. That is the rural setting for it. So you're going to have sheep and farms and goats and chickens and dogs and cats and ducks and everything, because that's what big country houses have. And I also like to use the animals as characters. You may have noticed that the goat is quite famous.
Yeah, there seems to be a little bit going on between the dogs as well. And of course, when one of the dogs is discovered, passed away.
Yes, that's sad.
That's quite a sad section of the book.
Yeah. I mean, all I can say is that all the horrible things that happen, and there are some pretty nasty things that happen, call it the law of karma in the book world, but as the books unfold, it's almost like the main characters, their karma's coming in, because all the horrible things that happen are all suddenly redeemed.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I'm saying? That's part of the reason for the inner silent way, is because these people are nice people. They're decent, ordinary, working people. And when you drag a nasty character in, you know, you I've met quite a few nasty people in my time, and you suddenly think, I need a nasty character. What happened last year? Oh yeah, I met that person and they're really nasty, and all of a sudden you've got a new character there, and you can visualize them in your head, and I'm typing away 2,000 words come out and I'm thinking, ooh, but that's what you need to do.
There's some silly parts in the book as well. I mean, I did love the bit about having the radio in the cow shed. I'm thinking, you're listening to Sue's radio, Brennan Shuns?
I've seen that. I have seen that on a couple of farms I've worked at. Some of them like Radio 2.
Yeah.
Some of them prefer the classical channel. And is it BBC Radio 4 is the talk one? And they prefer the talking ones.
Yeah, cows like Desert Island Discs.
Yeah.
For some bizarre reason.
For them, it comforts them.
Yes.
It does.
I found that very amusing.
I've seen a cow sitting there listening and it's like, you're really happy. You know, it's just sort of, yeah.
But the book itself, though, in parts is a little flirtatious.
That's all part of it.
Yeah. And also there's a strong friendship forming.
That is the bond between male and female. That's what I was... Because I've been trying to work that out for years and I still can't work it out. So I thought, if I write about it, maybe I can actually find out how it works. And the whole point of that is that if people are friends, if there's a strong friendship there, then anything can happen. You know, it's the strongest bond you can have with a person is being their friend, because you're there for them, you care for them, you don't judge them by any means or anything like that. You just treat them as they are.
Now, you mentioned a little earlier on about being expelled. You were not so clever at school, and you didn't have the 11 plus as such. You missed out on it.
No, I was rubbish, for want of a better word. Not because I was stupid, but because... Well, I'm not blaming anybody, but it was just the system at the time in the late 70s. Most of the junior schools, because I grew up in South London, there was about 40 kids in one class. The teachers, I'll be honest with you, didn't really give a monkeys. They were just in there to monitor the kids. They weren't there to teach. So I was never really taught joined-up writing, grammar, especially grammar, spelling. I tend to write, spell things how you say them. So, you know, phonetically will be spelt with an F. Do you know what I mean? That's how you phonetics. Telephone with an F at the end of it. You know, and it's like...
I mean, you have a huge proofreading team behind the books, don't you?
Well, dear, that's another problem. Especially with this book, I had it proofread 3 times, and there are still mistakes in it. And it's just like, you know, how can someone interpret your work? You know, because I do use words sometimes deliberately wrong. Because that's how the character speaks, especially the more common characters.
Yeah.
Like Muckers, and let's say Helen, and, you know, the people in the farm lads, they don't speak the Queen's English, especially when they're down the pub.
It's a bit gall-blimey.
Exactly. So when you write that, but then you see the alternative to that is the posh lady, Mackie, who speaks very well and is very eloquent.
That's it.
You know, and is very sort of, she doesn't necessarily use big words, but her sentences, I have to read them twice. But again, having met people like this, that's how they speak. So the whole point of the book is mishmashing all these different characters from different walks of life, from different time zones. And the one thing that is the common denominator throughout the whole book, I'm hoping people will pick up on this, is that they all become really good friends.
Absolutely. Bonks Trigwell, thank you very much for joining us here on Susie Radio. You're going to stay around and have another slurp? Brilliant. It's been a pleasure having you in the studio. It is All Hallows Eve and nothing like a ghostwriter here on the air as well. You're going to stay around for a little while.
Yep.
And if anybody's got any questions, you can email in, you can phone in, and we'll get you on the air and you can have a chat. No problem.
Is there a graveyard locally I can go and lurk around in anywhere?
I'm sure we can find one.
Yeah. Oh, good.
I'm sure we can find one. But there's a law against that, by the way. Just thought I'd warn you.
I'm going to keep my clothes on. What do you mean?
Enough said.